Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Good morning again. The talk title, It's in Every One of Us, popped in my head for a couple of reasons. Most of you know who's heard me speak before. I love movies, and I get all kinds of ideas from books and things that I see around me in the world. So I was watching the movie Big by Tom Hanks about the time Paul asked me for this talk title. And anyone that doesn't know that this song, It's in Every One of Us, is in that movie. Anybody know the movie where he's a kid and then he can't get on this ride at the fair? And he likes this girl, and she can get on the ride because she's taller than he is. You know, girls are outgrowing boys back. I think that still happens until boys get about 15 or 16, then they shoot up. But he was like 12 or 13, so he couldn't get on the ride, and he was all upset. And then he went to this little machine that would read your fortune or give you your future. And he said, I wish I was big. And his wish card came out, and then he noticed that the machine wasn't even plugged in. So woo-woo, right already. And he gets big. He lives life from a big perspective. At first, he's very afraid, and then he gets real comfortable in it because he used his childhood talents in this adult world and becomes very successful. Now he's got to make a choice whether he wants to go back to being a kid and really experience those years or stay where he is because he's fallen in love. Well, in that contemplation time, which we all have, this song plays. So I said, let me play this, because there's two things. That book, that story, also, The Seven Habits is a subject that I've been facilitating for quite some time, since 1999. And I used to use this video somewhere in that presentation of that work. So I'm like, here it is. I'm doing The Seven Habits again. This movie comes on. This is my talk title. I'm going to let you look at this video for a little bit. I won't play the whole thing. But check out the faces in this video.
It's in every one of us to be wise. Find your heart, open up both your eyes. We can all know everything without ever knowing why. It's in every one of us by and by. It's in every one of us to be wise. remembered. It's like I've been sleeping for years. I'm not awake as I can be, but my seeing's better. I can see through the tears. I've been realizing that I bought this ticket and watching only half of the show. But there is scenery and lights in the cast of thousands who won't know what I know. And it's good that it's so. It's in every one of us to be wise. Find your heart, open up both your eyes.
Couldn't help it. Had to play the whole thing. Awesome, right? Did you see people you knew in your heart and your mind in that video? And what happens in the world today is I think we forget that everything that we see out in the world that we may not like, some of that might be in us somewhere. There's good and there's not so good in every single person that walks the earth. And we make a choice in reference to what side of the coin that we're going to be on. Because it's one coin. It's heads or tails. And it's actively being proactive, which is habit one, or actively being reactive in the world. It's one or the other. Reactive behavior has different results than proactive behavior. But we really have to know where our paradigms are. How do we really see the world? How do we see ourselves? So another component that kind of strikes me is all the Peanut characters. You know, they're trying to bring Snoopy and Charlie Brown to this generation. My grandkids give me presents with Snoopy and Charlie Brown. They know I like them and they like them too. But as I looked at those characters within that story, you know, Charlie Brown is this, you know, never can get anything right kind of guy, right? And then Lucy's always reminding him and telling him that he's not getting it right, right? We have that same element right inside our own selves. You have Pigpen, that's a little bit messy. You know, every now and then I get a little bit messy, but then I have to clean it up because I can't deal with the mess. And then we just have all those different characters. If you look at them, a part of each of those characters can be in one individual. So everything that occurs out here, although we may be an upstanding citizen, one day life can crumble around us and it shows us what we're really made of and how we respond in life. So everything is in every one of us. So we have to or want to choose to be kind. We want to choose to be wise in our decision making. We want to make choices that lift us up. We don't want to be reactive and start to respond with our moods, our feelings, and our circumstances around us. There's a phrase that I use with that particular habit called carry your own weather. This is a carry your own weather group right here, right now, because you could be sleeping in bed, but you got your umbrellas out or your ponchos out, and you dodged the rain. When you got in the car, it stopped raining and it came on in and you didn't get wet. But But we carry our own weather. If we need a raincoat, we wear it. If we need an umbrella, we wear it. We put the wind. I don't have the top down today. It's raining. You don't put the top down on a rainy day, right? That's wise. But I could be unwise, have the top down, the car be wet, and then I got to deal with those consequences. When we can no longer change a situation that's out there, and we never can, but we might think we can, it always changes from within inside of us. So if we want life to be better, we have to have the thought of life being better. Another book comes to mind with change, because in order not to be reactive and to be proactive, we have to change. I can look at my baby pictures and see that I have changed. But when it comes to my behavior, might not be so easy to change. That's why this teaching is so vital to me. It was through the 7 habits that I found my way here, because I was accepting responsibility for my life. And I heard Dr. Kennedy say on the radio, on the jazz station, when you accept responsibility, you have a greater life. That's a choice. We can have a lesser life. That's a choice. But all of it is within us, and it's about our changing anything that we don't like. There's a book called Who Moved My Cheese? Anybody familiar with that particular book? That book uses the cheese as a metaphor to the things that are happening in the world today. So if really good things are happening, you're going through the maze, and you're reading the signs, and everything's going well, or you expect things to be the same way they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you just like it the same way, as Diane spoke about. It's like we have to be the catalyst to our changes. Do we want our life to be routine or humdrum or the same old way? And it's okay if you do, but it's more exciting when you decide to have a more abundant life. So the characters in Who Moved My Cheese, there's like 2 mice characters. They're called Sniff and Scurry. And then there's 2 human characters, and they're called Him and Ha. Great names. Because Him and Ha did just like that. Him and Ha about their lives, whether they wanted to change. They could see the changes happening out there. We'll use cheese. The cheese was running out in their station. Snip and Scurry always kept their little sneakers on, and they kept walking around the maze, and they made sure their stuff was, is their stuff? Okay, we're good. Oh, it's getting low. Let's go find another place. They kept in the proactive mood to find what they needed in life so they could keep it going. Wasn't always in the same spot, so they have to venture further out and further out. Where Him and Ha did just that. They kind of Him and Ha'd. They thought the cheese was going to come back to them, fall out of the sky somewhere, and be here. It was in them to do what Sniff and Scurry did, to go find more. Ha said, you know what, I'm going to go look. We're losing weight. We're not getting any better. Let me go see where there's some cheese. Him, like, I'm not doing it. He stayed right there, starving, not anything to eat. It was in him to stay right there. But Ha said, let me go find something. And he went a little further out, found some cheese, came back and told Ha, him, that he found cheese, and he said, no, I'm not going anywhere. It'll come back. It will come back. But each and every one of us has each of those characters in us. We've got Sniff in us, where we're always looking to see what opportunity is. We can have that. We have Scurry in us, where we've sniffed it out and we go get it. We've got Haw in us, where it's pretty good the way it is. I'm not doing anything. It'll come back. We've got him that's just not changing, not budging. You can probably see relatives when I say the word him in your head. It might have been you at one point, but I can see relatives in my head that have never changed, never budged, never moved over the 50 years that I have known them in my life. And life is pretty much the same. This teaching will not leave you where you were when you arrived. If you study, if you practice, if you hold yourself accountable and be responsible for what's going on in your life, and it's never out there that it's happening, you will never be the same again. You will forever be changing. You will be snipping and scurrying out the changes so your life can be amazing. The things I believe that caused this to happen is self-awareness. This is our ability to examine our own thoughts, our own moods, and our own behavior and do something about it. Once we become self-aware, we're awake. And once you're awake, you're responsible now. Our consequences are very different once you know the truth and don't live it. Can anybody vouch for that out there? More stuff starts to happen to see whether we are proactive or reactive in our living. Another area that comes up when you start to look at life proactively and knowing that you're not going to use that reactive side that is in you too is imagination. You can imagine yourself. You can live for 40 years and imagine yourself swimming with the dolphins or jet skiing or opening your own business or writing a book or traveling the world. Just fill in the blank. Or you can keep reacting to life, never change, hem and haw about it, instead of sniff and scurry about it, and see what else can you be about. It's important for us to also be conscious. This teaching is a part of our consciousness, our understanding of what's right and wrong. I discovered in my adulthood that people do what looks right, but may not necessarily do what's right. I didn't know that occurred. It was a light bulb moment for me. Do what's right. There's a difference. Your integrity inside you, your thermometer, your compass tells you what's the right direction for you. It's in each of us. We have it. It's up to us to use it. And last, independent will, our ability to act independently of any external circumstances that come our way. It can be the worst imagination possible. Instead of using our imagination negatively, we want to use our imagination positively. Because we can think of all the bad things that can happen in a situation. Why not think of the good that can happen in a situation and bring it about? We're the law of attraction. We attract exactly what we want in the world. The world is at our disposal. It feels like it's getting even smaller to me. I can hardly go anywhere in the world and not see someone I know. It's amazing. So we have to be on our best behavior, I'm thinking. This is what I also know. People come to mind at different times and different scenarios. I went to a lacrosse game yesterday. Anybody know lacrosse? My grandson is playing that. You guys are going to have to Google that. I still don't know the rules. I saw them running around with the little ball catcher. It looked like a little golf club with a net on it, and they were running around. And this was his second game. His very first game was the week before, but I had a commitment and didn't get to see him play. I heard stories about him yesterday from him being proactive rather than reactive. Anybody who's seen my grandson, he's probably here now. He's a big guy. He's about 13 years old, but he's got some muscularness on him. He played football. I watch Concussion. I don't really want him playing football, but it's not my choice. And if he plays it's up to him. But he decided to play lacrosse. The coach actually came after him to play. So last week he's playing, and he... big enough, this guy, he just stands there and people get knocked down by his size, right? So this guy comes at him again, boom, he just knocks him down. So now the kid wants to fight. I guess that's a part of sports, but you're not supposed to fight. You're supposed to keep, one's reactive, one's proactive, right? My grandson does not react. He does not fight. You can hear, my daughter says, the people cheering him on. Q, just play the game. Just play the game. And he played so well. They cheered his name at the end of the game. I missed it. But he was in his proactive mode rather than a reactive mode, which kids can get to too, particularly children. They don't know the difference. They have to be taught as well. And this game that we met all the parents, and that Q played a great game. He was so proactive in that game. They said he didn't react, but of course it converts to me as being proactive. So I thought he was brilliant in the sense that he was creating a habit in this new sports that he's playing of being proactive. Another person that came to mind about proactivity is Harriet Tubman. Her name kept coming up in conversations with among some of my friends over the last couple of weeks. And I've got some statistics on her that I'm going to just read. She was born a slave in Dorchester County, Maryland. Tubman was beaten and whipped by her various masters as a child. Early in life, she suffered a traumatic head wound when an irate slave owner threw a heavy metal weight attending to hit another slave and hit her instead. The injury caused dizziness, pain, and spells of hyposomnia, which occurred throughout her entire life. She was a devout Christian and experienced strange visions and vivid dreams. And when she ascribed to the premonitions from God, this is what it told her to do. In 1849, Tubman escaped to Philadelphia, then immediately returned to Maryland to rescue her family. Slowly, one group at a time, she brought relatives with her out of state and eventually guided dozens of other slaves to freedom. Traveling by night in extreme secrecy, Tubman, and they also referred to her as Moses, never lost a passenger. After the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850 was passed, she helped guide fugitives further north to the British North America to help newly freed slaves find work. Now, was Miss Tubman reactive or proactive? She was proactive in her life. Now, this is not a new concept. I'm sure the queens and kings of Egypt, those that were proactive versus reactive, you see the results in their lives. So what was in her? That means it was in Miss Tubman to set people free. It was already there. Something activated it based on her faith walk. But she didn't have to listen. She didn't have to do it. She could have let mood and circumstances keep her right there where she was. But something inside her, which is in every one of us, activates our dream coming true. And you're your Moses. You set you free into what you want your life to be. It's very often that we want to live small, but we want to make a power of decision to live greater. And as you've seen my book before, it's in a shambles, but it's very important to make decisions through your power. I'm writing this book by Raymond Charles Barker for those people who want to create their own good and not have it created by others. They are willing and able to accept responsibility for their own mental actions. They refuse to dodge the alibis induced within their own consciousness. They face themselves correct their own thoughts and create their own heaven on earth. They have made the decision to be the creative center of their own experiences. They do not believe that what others believe. They do not blame others or censor them. They reverse their thinking and make certain it agrees with their goals of their decisions. They hold fast to the line and they do not waver. They know what they know causes their good to happen. So it's very important to use your power in your decision making so your life can be all that it can be. Sniff and Scurry goes out for what they want. Him and Haw can him and haw about it all they want, and life can be the same. It's up to you to decide what that will be. No minister can save you. No mom, dad, sister, brother. It's each of us saving ourselves from whatever is going on in our lives that we don't like, don't want, don't agree with. Know that there's a lesson in it and trust the process. Learn to live life magnanimously, and that means getting over any of the complexities and hurt and hate that might come along and live life to the greatest, to the fullest. There's a quote that I want to read to you. They give two people credit for this. They give it to Marianne Williamson, and they also give it to Nelson Mandela. I'm going to read it. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are meant to shine as children do. It is not just in some of us, it's in every one of us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And it said Nelson on this one. Have you heard Marianne Williams say that too? So you guys pick who you wanted to have. But I love the saying, because all of this, our shining light is in every one of us. We have to increase our self-awareness so we know how to live life well. Now, it's a practice like everything else. Faith in you causes your life to grow. So have faith. Allow it to grow. Take the classes that are around. Open a book that inspires you. Watch a movie. Laugh, as Diane says. That's one of the best healing medicines out there. Everybody's got to have their favorite comedy. If you're down, put it in. There's a song out there for you. I love Earth, Wind, and Fire. I love Heat Wave. I love Michael Jackson. I love Prince. The list goes on and on and on. Even John Denver and James Taylor and Jimmy Buffett, you know, even a little Dolly Parton, you know, even some Mozart. I mean, just whatever it is that gets you back to the knowing that you've been creating and your awareness, because you can feel it. Anybody who's seen my granddaughter, we come here like that. And then all of a sudden the world starts to dig away at us and starts to change us. And we have to not be moved. We're like the tree, they say, that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. We may bend and sway because we don't want to break, but we're not going to be moved when we know that proactive works. It's in me too, just like reactivity is in me. What results do I get with my reactive? Think about yours. I don't really like some of the stories that I would be telling you about my reactive side. My proactive side has gotten me here. Coming back again and again to listen to words that say, you are great. You are God. You are one with that power that exists everywhere in the world, ever present, everywhere, at all times. Amazing. Nobody ever said that to me. You don't have to be here to be in God, but it's fun because it's like-minded people. You can have that conversation with somebody and they get what you mean. And then you go to work and they're clueless. But you still, it's still in you. So you get to carry that to work and perform in a way that you would never perform without it. They may get it, they may not. They don't have to, you do. And you use it. And if you sit back and be proactive about it, seems like the universe just works it out. You just have to know the what. God's got the how. So let's get into our what. Let's get into our proactive. What do you want? Proactively write it down. Proactively do something every day that gives energy to it. Even if it's just thinking. Because thoughts become things. So if you're reactively thinking, those thoughts will become things. I want us to know that inside of us, we get our energy source from different places. Sometimes it's resting. Sometimes it's socializing. We gather information in different ways. Sometimes it's sensing, and we have to touch, taste, smell, and hear. Other times it's intuitive. We feel it in our gut. Go with it. Anybody ever negate their gut and get around the corner, and it's like, something told me, listen to it. We also make a decision based on our head or our heart. If they match, the decision is dead on. If they're at conflict, stop. Don't make a decision yet. And then how we show up in the world. You can see when life is grand. Doesn't mean I have to have a mink stole on for life to be grand. I've got this big smile on my face. And it tells you life is grand. And then there's this saying that fake it till you make it. I've evolved with that statement saying mimic it till you make it. Because it is still real. You want that to be your lifestyle. So you see things that move you. Talk to those people that's doing it. Because you may or may not want to do that. You know, I might want to write a book. I do want to do that. I may want to bungee jump. No, I don't want to do that. You know, you want to just figure out what things you do want to do and what you don't want to do. You may reinvent something or reinvent it in you because you used to do it and now you don't. So it's up to us to proactively live our lives so our lifestyles can show up with strength and love and honor. And as I close, these are spiritual phrases that I captured a while ago that I want you to take with you proactively. Be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. In the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. Live with intention. Walk to the edge. Listen hard. Practice wellness. Play with abandonment. Laugh. Choose with no regret. Continue to learn. Appreciate your friends. Do what you love. And live as if this is all there is. And so it is. Thank you. Let us go in with to what we call spiritual mind treatment, affirmative prayer. Breathe in and out that substance that's readily available for us. You don't have to go looking for it. Take that which resonates with you and leave the rest. And this is what I know. There is one God, one absolute power, first cause to all things, that is in you, and that spirit, that presence, that magnificence is in me too. It's in every one of us, all the time. And it shows up how we are responding and practicing and living ourselves and being ourselves in this world that we live in. Are we happy, carefree, wise, kind, patient, loving, tender, peaceful? Or are we angry, frustrated, fearful? We can be either. Let's pick the greater. So life can be greater. It's in you. It's in me. The lessons that we learn in life are any obstacles along the way are stepping stones to our greatness. We don't have to see them as tragedies. Mistakes are made in everyone's life. We learn more from a mistake than getting it right the first time. So we love on ourselves for any mistakes we've ever made. We forgive ourselves for any mistake, any misunderstanding, any lack of thinking and being. We know that we are kind, we know that we are wise, and we know that we are loving. And when we look at the faces of others from now on, we see the light in them, whether they see it for themselves, because it's in there. It's in everyone. We give thanks for what is. We give thanks for what will be, because our awareness and the seeds we are planting will be harvested abundantly, because we live in an abundant universe and we give thanks. The more we give thanks, the more we will have to be thankful for. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We release to the power that knows all, does all, within all. And so it is.